Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slang. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of crime. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 360 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Mao in the building. Today we are talking the weekly update. You know, there's news along the timeline that you'll see. Then you have to bring up in a show, and it's the off season, and obviously we're building for the real season. But the off season is the real season. But shout out to you guys. You know, overall, I'm just there's a lot of news going on. You know, the biggest news over the last couple of days has been, you know, some guy named Nuke, because he dropped the bomb on the timeline because Eagle fans have been talking about DeAndre Hopkins. He mentioned on the I Am Athlete pod, he said he would love to play for a team, you know, where the QB that loves the game and brings everyone on board with him. A great defense. Defense wins championships. Got to have a great D-line. That's another check, Ev.
You got two so far.
Okay. Stable management, because he says he's been through four GMs in his career. That would be Howie Roseman, who's been here for Ev. So a good situation. But there's a lot of news on the timeline. But overall, how you guys are doing at this moment?
Doing all right. As good as I can be in this part of the offseason, man. I'm not going to lie. Things get pretty dull, pretty boring. I'm looking at the finals lineup for the NBA, and like, I had that realization that I was like, man, we got one more series in the NBA, and then it's just baseball until we get to football. That's tough, man. But yeah, dude, as far as the Eagles are concerned, I mean, the rich get richer, man. If Howie found a way to get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, we're sitting here talking about, like, you know, how are we going to deal with this whole Quez Watkins situation? Are we going to give him this next year and let him continue to develop, which I think is probably – Quez is going to be on the roster, whether people like it or not. He's good enough to earn a roster spot, but it's a matter of, is he good enough to be the guy that we lean on when we really need him? And if we can bring in a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, I would much rather lean on a guy like him than a Quez Watkins. So that's something that it's pretty interesting, man. For a guy like Howie Roseman that likes to make that big splash move every offseason, this would be the big splash.
Yeah. I think that it also goes towards dispelling the rumor that nobody wants to play in Philly, right? The, like, this whole everybody hates Philly and we're too tough on players. But then you see all of these guys like Buda Baker talking about Philly. You see D-Hop naming Jalen Hurts is one of the quarterbacks he wants to play with, right? So you see Micah Parsons damn near everywhere in Philadelphia and probably back at Devontae's softball game again. So for me, I mean, I think it's definitely the rich getting richer. I don't know how you feed all of these mouths if you add D-Hop, but I think that's a good problem to have. I don't know that he ends up here. I think a lot of folks are anticipating Kansas City tries to make a move to have him join them as their wide receiver one. As wild as it sounds, I don't know that we need D-Hop to like take this team to the next level, right? That like that's just another accessory to an offense that's already pretty stacked. And so, yeah, man, I'm really just excited to see how this sort of pans out. I'm going to still keep ringing the bell for Donovan Peoples-Jones. DPJ is in the last year of that contract. You know, my man Tillman went to Cleveland, and so it kind of made him somebody that could be on the chopping block as far as a trade. And you might be able to get him for a lot cheaper. And a one-year flyer on a dude like that, I think, makes more sense than D-Hop just because, you know, D-Hop's coming in demanding 150 targets. There's no way that you feed him, that you feed Smitty, that you feed AJ, that you feed Goddard, all that somebody's gonna fall off of that. And I think you have to commit to the guys that are already here long term. So I know I'm probably throwing some rain on the parade here.
I like Donovan Peoples-Jones. Obviously, yeah, DPJ, it's two different tiers with DeAndre and Donovan.
Absolutely.
You want mustard or you want Grey Poupon? You know,
give me that mustard that costs like $30 less. You know what I mean? Yeah. give me the nice mustard.
But if you think about it, and we just roll through the hypotheticals here, how would a lineup look with D-Hop on this team? Because I kind of look at it as D-Hop and Devontae on the outside and let AJ eat in the slot.
Yeah.
You could, but they're all interchangeable. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
But then you also talk about Mal talked about this other guy that we all know and love, Dallas Goedert. You know, like there's that's another mouth to feed. And again, I think Dallas Goedert would step back and he wouldn't ruffle the feathers, but you have to really make that work. Just some wrinkles to the whole equation. Yeah. They said DeAndre Hopkins, his agency, they weren't really – it was kind of like a situation where the NFL was kind of leery of the management group that he was with. Hmm. You know, unlike Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he switched his agency. Yeah. He's now with Clutch Sports.
Clutch.
Now we know that another guy on our team by the name of Jalen is rep by Clutch Sports. Mm-hmm. And Devontae Smith is also Clutch Sports. And the most important thing is Jalen Hurts followed Nuke on Instagram.
Wow. Cool. Wow. Huge.
I'm just saying.
And I mean, you know, I think – so I'm going to just be real here. The reason why I would be greatly concerned about adding somebody like Devontae or Nuck to this offense is watching AJ Brown's body language at some of those games where he wasn't the highest targeted dude, right? Where like the ball was getting distributed a bunch of different directions. And you could just see he was dragging towards some of the end of those games. Like he's a guy that's highly motivated getting that rock. And we're a physical football team. I don't see Jalen Hurts coming out and throwing 40 times a game. So, you know, I think that like, yeah, it would be dope, man, to have him. But I think you also have to really be careful about team culture. Now, something that Howie talks about a lot, right, is like the building of a team, the culture, what's happening inside of the building and on the team from the top down. And the last thing you want to do is like, yeah, you bring in a really good player, but he's somebody that throws things off kilter for a team that's like really trying to continue to make shots at the Super Bowl. So, listen, if he signs a deal and comes to Philly, I'll be the first one.
That's what I'm saying, Mal. Like, if you think about too, just how this team is already set up, like we completely retooled this running back group. So, like, mm-hmm. we're not really hurting in any respect there. I mean, there's guys that have injury problems, but we have such an abundance of running backs in that group that we should be able to get shit done and be physical and have our options open as far as how we want to move the ball up the field. And then if you add a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, Dude, look, we legitimately got like a Pro Bowl team on offense here, man. Like,
it's
the entire offense is a Pro Bowl team.
It's insane.
My question, I guess, is also, are we talking like a 3-year deal with Nuck? Are we talking a 1-1, right? Because like this is also a guy that's getting towards the tail end. He played, like, I had him in fantasy last year, so he came back from that suspension. Yeah. He was balling, trust me.
Yeah.
But you know, you also have to take into consideration like that part too. Yeah, that's a good point, Todd. It's no telling, man, right? That, like, if he really wants to chase a ring, this is arguably the best spot along with Kansas City. So,
well, and, now, and that's the I want to just throw that little Kansas City caveat in there, too, because I think about, like, obviously the Eagles and Kansas City were in the Super Bowl last year, and you saw how close match they were, even with like a depleted wide receiving core for Kansas City. I think that if they were to add someone like a DeAndre Hopkins, like, dude, that makes them that much more lethal, spicy, that much harder to play when we got to play them when it matters.
Removing a Juju Smith-Schuster.
Is there any benefit? And I get that, like, this is a dumb hypothetical and all that, but is there any benefit in just getting DeAndre Hopkins just so the Chiefs can't get him?
literally,
you know what I mean?
It's like an arms race at this point. Yeah. Like, you're
playing keep away.
It's like addition by whatever. It's a great addition, but like you're subtracting from all these other teams that could potentially make sense. Obviously, I'm thinking the Bradbury deal, you know, where last year people were like, I don't think we could afford Bradbury, but the fact that the Giants were paying him, he's like, you know, I can find a situation that makes sense. And again, like we talked about this whole idea of, you know, the Eagles becoming a destination place.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts, just his whole vibe that he's bringing to the table. Players are wanting to come here. Yep. But here, let's look at the cap here. We have this is from Spot Track here. The teams that he talked about with the Chargers, they have 12 mil cap space. Eagles are sitting there at 19. The other teams that we talked about, Kansas City Chiefs, are sitting at a 1 million.
Yeah, but that's two restructures away from being able to fit him in, right? True. Like this is all fantasy, smoke and mirrors. This is not real.
Yeah. So I mean,
so, you know, anything is possible.
They will have to put some work in to
move
some things around. But again, some people don't believe in Santa Claus or the cap.
Yeah, I don't believe in the cap. It's not
I don't believe in either.
Yeah, it's cap.
You could make it work, but like talk about that. We're talking about this wide receiver group here, and the depth. Which leads us right into our next topic here.
England Covey still on this roster.
I mean, look, there's a lot of Jags here, and there's a lot of you know, back end of the roster. You know, kind of, you know, all fighting for a spot. Or I call them Quez Watkins. You know, potential competition guys that are they're throwing everything at the wall to stick. We all know that Quez, after the Zacchaeus signing, he said, "I'm gonna make y'all eat every fucking word."
Yeah, you've seen this shit before.
So I mean, what is that? What is that? Because there's also news out there. Bo Wolf from The Athletic had mentioned a potential trade to Atlanta for a fourth round pick. Earlier this offseason, we talked about, you know, looking at the money, whether you release him or trade him before June 1st or whatever, it's going to be 2.7 mil off the cap. Looking at his contract here. So, it you know, if you know, it's 2.7 off the books.
It's not much.
And he lives in he has an apartment in Atlanta, by the way.
ATL shout it.
I got to ask you guys, just as far as this wide receiver group is concerned, in your honest opinion, Olamide Zaccheaus, is that a step up, lateral move, or step down from Zach Pascal?
To me, it's a step up, bro. Yeah, I mean, I think that he's more adept at playing the receiver position, whereas which McCullough was a goon, right? That, like, he served special teams and, like, he was the enforcer in a lot of ways. I think Zaccheaus isn't a bad wide receiver four. I'm nervous about him being the three. Dante was good, my boy. You know, there's a lot to be done behind AJ Brown and Devontae still. And I'm curious to see what that looks like. Like, you know, what's how he's playing. It'll be tough going into, and I've said this whole time, like AJ Brown has dealt with injuries in his career, right? Like he's missed a handful of games pretty much every year except last year. So going into a season where our top two are set, and then behind them is just like Gail said, a mix of back end, kind of just another guy sort of caliber players. Has me nervous. You know, there's still some guys on the open market. Howie's a magician. He does what he does and he does it well. But this needs to be addressed. And I don't think enough people realize the importance of having a realistic wide receiver three, right? Like, it's great to have two top dogs, but with injury or also just the fact you need to spread the ball around, like, we need a third person that's reliable in that room. And I'm not sure that we have that yet.
We have two top 10 wide receivers, in my opinion. Yes. You add DeAndre Hopkins into this, bro. That's three.
I mean, that's one. That's one A, B, C. That's a vibe that I don't think we as Eagle fans have ever seen.
And for all the complaining that AJ Brown, like, I get what you're saying. You did see it in the body language in games when he wasn't getting the ball as much as he felt he deserved, but. Bro, what did he end the year with? 1,500 yards and how many touchdowns? Like
10. Right?
Yeah. Is that something like that? Is that not plenty? Like, yeah. My God.
The thing with DeAndre playing in Arizona, he's easily doubled and his numbers, he's not even in the equation because he's just getting, you know, there's no hope in Arizona right now. They're literally showing you their cards saying that they might tank. Get that Caleb Williams vibe going. They got a quarterback who, you know, likes to play Call of Duty. Coming off an injury.
Still bizarre beyond belief that they gave him a big money contract and had a clause in there about him playing Call of Duty.
But like, then they took the clause out. Why even put it in? Wait, right? Like, how did you not realize that clause was going to cause the amount of, like, attention that it did?
Yeah.
I'm back to, I don't remember if it was Gail or Hollywood, which one of you said it, but that Jalen Hurts, like, we have a quarterback that people are excited to play with. And like, I'm excited about that for us as a city, man, as a team, because that wasn't always the case, right? That, like, you know, we even beyond just, you know, this isn't just about Wentz. I even think back to McNabb and the whole TO situation where, like, folks, we had players, but they didn't click with the quarterback. Yep. We have a quarterback that is a team first guy that everybody seems to get along with. And whenever you hear people talk about him, like, they talk about how down to earth this dude is. He's also only 24. So, like, we have such a bright future ahead with such an amazing football player leading us. You know, if it's Nuck, it's Nuck. I saw Todd saying here, I was making points for why we need to bring Nuck in. Listen, don't get me wrong, man. I'm all for Nuck. I don't think it makes sense to trade Quez Watkins. I think he's more valuable as a player in this system. He understands the system. Last year was sort of an anomaly with the drop passes too. When you look at his career, like, that isn't something that he really had issues with long term. So I think it's a bounce back season for him, man. Hopefully, because if not, we could be in trouble, man, for real.
Now the ECG is talking about he's excited for Charleston Rambo. Charleston Rambo, another guy who played with Jalen Hurts, played with Miami as well, but I'm thinking in my head the play that what's his name? Yeah, there's a play. He's like Rambo. Like it was a nice grab that he had. It was like a deep post. But Rambo, another guy, Jaden Hazelwood also played with Jalen Hurts as well. So,
and not as a big body, right? Like he's a bit different than our other wide receivers. Mm-hmm. He brings a different sort of vibe. We got camp to get through this. Right?
All big guys.
Figure out, man.
I think so. Then you also talk about, you know, replacing that big body wide receiver, you know, with Zach Pascal leaving. Obviously, it's all about money in some situation. Like, I think Zach could be more useful elsewhere. Like, he was great for his role here. I thought he played his role well, but I think you got to go get your money for Zach Pascal. So I think they're trying to figure out a cheaper option.
No, I think Zach Pascal's a legit wide receiver three in this league, and yeah, he just
he was a goon, man. Right, yeah. Like that late hit on Jalen Hurts. I forget what team it was. He was the first person to go hold that player accountable. It wasn't Mailata. It wasn't Landon. It wasn't none of the big boys up front. It was Zach Pascal running halfway across the field to go light somebody up. Yeah. And so that's the type of person that's a great culture fit. I don't think from a production standpoint the money matched. Right. Like, and so to Gail's point, if you can get somebody that can bring that sort of fire, but also the productivity as a wide receiver three, then you got to go with it. In reality, Goddard's our wide receiver three, though. Right. So like the value, but he's also somebody that has historically missed time in this offense. Right. That like when he goes down, we saw it last year. We missed him as that person in the middle of the field. We missed him on those tight end screens. We missed his athleticism and his ability to block in space. So there's some holes on offense, right? That like we see a lot of superstar dudes. We made a lot of moves, but we also still have things to address that were needs going into the draft that really weren't addressed. So yeah, man, you know, that's the fun part here is like now you playing chess, right? Like, you know, we have the best GM in the NFL. So I'm not really concerned. If we still had a different regime or a person that wasn't good at their job, you know, if it was Daryl Morey, I'd be like, damn, we might not make it. Yeah. But we got Howie, so we good, bro.
Maybe we'll sign James Harden at wide receiver. But now, Bob from Down Under talks about, you know, one snap away from disaster, right? We had a shit depth last year, and it really hurt our special teams. But you look at our wide receiver group, and it's you know, after like, you know, the point that we're concerned about punters, we're concerned about wide receiver fours and fives. It just is what it is at the moment, but I get it. I think you do have to think about quality depth, but you also have to think about cheap depth. So this is where, you know, when Jalen's making all this money, you have to nickel and dime at the back end.
And I also think that like you have to get away from like the specialists as I like to call them, like a guy like a Britton Covey whose only spot on this roster is to return punts, where like that is sucking up a roster spot for someone that could be contributing a lot more. So like if you were to put somebody else in there,
maybe Zacchaeus,
that could return punts as well as do something else. Like Britton Covey was it was a liability last year because, I mean, if I'm being honest, I mean, it's not like he was muffing the ball and causing turnovers or anything like that, but he wasn't adding enough in the punt return game, in my opinion, to justify keeping him on the roster. It was one of those things where if you're on special teams, you need to be able to do as much as possible instead of just one little specific niche thing well. If you're going to do it well, you got to do it really goddamn well. I'm going to need like a Devin Hester Jr. if the only thing that you can do is return punts.
We want more spice.
I need more spice.
And shout out to Blue Mini bringing the spice. You know, he had a birthday. He was out. Where was he? In Ireland celebrating. Nice. Very nice. Very nice.
So I just want to throw this out here because I've seen this kind of like churning on the timeline. Curious how y'all feel. Julio Jones, man, you know, people have been kind of clamoring for Julio. I've seen the name come up a couple times and people saying it could be a cheaper addition than Nuck and somebody that could, you know, potentially bring some spice. He hasn't been effective over the past several years, right, due to injuries and things like that. But man, Julio is one of the great ones, right? Like he, you know, from a physical standpoint, was an anomaly for the vast majority of his career. And then somebody I'm going to always keep throwing out, even though, you know, he's getting a bit older and definitely longer in the tooth. But Jarvis Landry, man, as somebody who, like Hollywood was saying, can do special teams and also can play wide receiver. He's a slot specialist. He's somebody that brings a lot of character to the locker room, experience to the locker room. So, yeah, you know.
His energy is also contagious as well.
Up to two names you just mentioned. Like if this were 5 years ago, obviously Julio Jones would be right at the top of that list. But I just think that his fall off has been so dramatic that I just think that, like, and no disrespect to Julio, he's one of the best wide receivers I've watched in this millennium.
Yeah,
I just think he's kind of he's got nothing left in the tank really at this point.
I don't think so.
One of Devontae Smith's favorite wide receivers. He actually ranks him above him. They asked like top five Bama wide receivers, but you also today had mentioned that adding Julio Jones is a kind of luxury move that the Eagles need to make. But I think, you know, overall, you know Julio Jones is going to give you a cool seven games.
If, like six.
If lucky.
You can get like 400 yards and four touchdowns out of Julio, bro.
Yeah.
You see Julio in the season.
Yeah. You know? Like, I mean, hope it's the tail end
and
of the
season.
And,
like, I want to sit here and say, like, it's always good to have, like, a guy in the locker room. But, like, as far as how our wide receivers are set up, like, we already got good leadership in the mm-hmm. – it's not like we really need to add a Julio in and that's going to change the culture in any way. Yeah. Like, between AJ and Devontae, we're good as far as teaching the younger wide receivers, in my opinion.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, you still have N'Keal Harry, and then my man Sammy Watkins, who's somehow only 29, but been in the league for 25 years.
So yeah, what the fuck?
I don't understand. But, you know, there isn't a lot there. I think also now we're going to start looking at some of these camp battles and some folks that are potentially going to get overtaken by younger players and maybe get on the trade block or get cut. So there are going to be so many options available. You know, again, I trust Howie. I think that he's shown that his ability to build a roster that can then be coached well by Sirianni and his coaching staff. Like, it's a good partnership. So I'm excited to see what the final roster looks like.
Ryan asked, anyone get the new training camp hat that came out today? Got that Kelly Green hat today? I did not see it.
No?
I've been off the shot. Fills, though, today.
I've been, yeah, right now. A little something. Okay. Yeah, I mean I think the Eagles are like we still got one killer move to make, and mm-hmm. I think you know, we talk about Arizona. There's that guy Buda. Yeah. That would be a killer trade, or killer, like if they outright release him, they do something crazy.
I mean, you got to keep in the back of your mind too that I'm pretty sure, like, didn't we get CJ in like August last year? Like, that was a late addition. So yep. Like, don't think just because, you know, you don't hear anything or
Byard from Titans,
yeah.
Philadelphia native. Are you gonna bring them all back? You know what I'm saying?
Did he play at Georgia by any chance?
I don't think so.
He did.
Bruce is hyped for the season. Bruce Banner getting hyped like the Hulk. Yeah. I mean, from a scale of, you know, one to hype, where are you guys at right now?
Dude, I mean, I think
I'm hyped.
I'm not sitting here just being an Eagles fan, blowing Eagles smoke up your ass. I think we're going back to the Super Bowl, bro. So I'm hyped.
Hell wow. Yeah, we're going back. Yo, and not only are we going back, and we're going back the difficult way, right? That, like, we're going to go back. We're going to experience some injuries. We're going to experience some downplay. We have that killer's role in the schedule, right? That, like, I think we still emerge 4-0 or 5-0, you know, in there. I'm hyped, man. I think that this team is built for the long haul, and we're going to get to it clearly. But, like, Jalen Carter, have y'all seen him? Right, they're like, it's almost like Harden on the Nets. Like, he had a fat suit on during the Georgia Pro Day. Like, he knew he wanted to go to Philly. He didn't want to be a Bear, right? Like, he didn't want to go to some of these other locations. And so he tanked his value so how we could go run up and get him. You know, it's come on, we know the vibes.
He wanted to be
man.
With his Georgia boys, bro.
We know the vibes, man. You know, Kelly Ringo acted Hollywood, so he could come to Philly too. Like, they know the vibes, man.
Did everything. Everyone did everything to do.
Yo,
what they need to do to fall to the Eagles.
And just remember, keep in mind, too, everybody clowned Jalen Carter for saying that he wasn't taking any visits outside the top 10. Man didn't need to.
Well, the team, they said it, right? They said that the Eagles, like, I remember reading an article, maybe it was The Athletic, but they said they guessed it was the Eagles that predicted he wouldn't fall out the top 10. And, like, when you read the tea leaves and everything, it sort of makes sense that they probably did have a conversation to that extent of, like, listen, if you're there when we draft, like, you're 100% here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we even talked about, like, maybe he tarnished his brand a little bit. You know, Tank was saying that maybe wasn't the smartest move to make, right, because it could be a team outside the top 10 that comes up and gets you. But if you know that a team in that range wasn't going to let you fall out of it, do your thing, big dog.
Yeah, Rosenhaus knows the landscape. Like, the fact that Rosenhaus came out, is like, you think I've been doing this long enough? You think I would tell my client to do something that I don't know?
Has Rosenhaus been doing this, like, 25 years, bro?
He's been show me the money, okay? Show me the money. Talk about money, or not money. talk about moves, that the Eagles, it'd be a low cost effective. Again, we're talking about back end of the roster, guys. The Eagles worked out DJ Fluker, a guy who spent time in Stoutland University before Stoutland University thing became a thing at Bama. He played with like Chance Warmack.
Where
he
got the inherent.
You know, but again.
Yeah, we lost you, bro.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Gil over here busting himself up.
Yeah.
Nah, my brother, you're still going.
You got.
There you go.
Just in the line right there.
So NFL is all about relationships. You see Bill Parcells move around the league, he brings his guys. You see Aaron Rodgers go somewhere, he brings his guys. So I've seen people asking, why DJ Fluker? Because he has a relationship with
food
coach Stoutland. And he has a relationship with Sirianni during his time in San Diego. He might look like an anime character here.
He looked good, though, right? Like, considering all the speculation around his weight, and, like, there's a reason why he hasn't been on a roster actively, like, playing for a little bit. But he looked good. Like, I don't know if y'all saw the, like, 360 view of him as, like, his the media person was spinning. And like, it's like, damn, yo, okay. Like,
Bro looks like the final boss on something.
Yes.
Like, Street Fighter.
End boss, bro. Yes.
Like Zen Mike Tyson's Geek, punch out. He's like the last guy.
Yes.
After Mike Tyson.
that's good. Tyson. That's good big body depth, man. I mean, for like an offensive, this isn't someone that we are hoping that we have to lean on, but a guy that we, you know, if he did end up getting signed, I think AJ that, you know, with his background, knowing Stoutland already knows probably the rough framework of what the scheme is like. I don't see why you wouldn't at least work him out, see what he's got.
He lost 40 pounds. And the other thing is, there was also, you know, there's been some off field stuff that's gone on with him. There's like, he was dealing with a domestic violence situation with his wife. So his wife ended up getting arrested. So like, if he was not in like a,
she was the aggressor.
Yes. So like mental health, man, he might've been in a bad place. Shout out to, the third lap, mind your mentals. But it's just a case where he's going to somewhere he potentially, you know, has groundwork with the offensive line coach. Talked about what he meant to him as a coach. Stout is like a god, dude. Like when it's among in terms of relationships, you see their interaction. We missed yet the Eagles Autism Challenge, guys, but he was out there talking to his linemen, and man, I just, his relationship with his guys are like, it's serious.
No, and from just speaking on that, like when I attended the Eagles Autism Challenge last year, I saw him at, first of all, I was chilling next to Jason Kelsey, and that's, did he have the sick-ass bike again this year? No. Well, he was, Jason Kelsey was just sitting there letting everybody take pictures of his bike, and then all of a sudden Stoutland came out, and you just saw, not to be corny or anything like that, but you just saw those two, like, you know, embrace, and you're like, dude, they really do. Like, there's a solid relationship there. And you could just kind of feel that, like, Statland really has that effect on all the guys that he coaches and deals with on a daily basis. All of his offensive linemen, I think that, you know, they all value him very strongly.
I love that anecdote from Sirianni, too, where he was like, that Stoutland was like, are you ready to get back to work? Yet? Like, you're studying your prospects? Like, what you doing, yo? You know, you need that sort of energy. And, you know, yeah, his linemen love him. Jordan Mailata, I think, is proof positive that he can develop talent. Like, there's a certain sort of, like, player that he can work well with and develop.
Big bodies, man.
Huge dudes, right? And, you know, Suo Peta, right, that, like, he went from a guy that people weren't even sure could play in the NFL to a dude that is still sticking on roster. So,
yeah,
there's a lot there. If he thinks that Fluker or somebody, and I like it because he could play swing tackle and also maybe pinch in that guard. And so, you know, there's that value of having that dude as maybe your fifth or sixth offensive lineman that can play a litany of different positions. You know, with the O-line, that's important. So, you know, Gail, you keep saying it, and it's true. When you have a quarterback that demands as much money as Jalen Hurts just did, you have to draft really well, and you have to find value in free agency. And when you look at the contracts this year specifically, it was a ton of values, right? That, like, when you're looking at the guaranteed money, just the overall salary going to a lot of these guys, it wasn't a lot of money allocated. And so it gives you a chance to make a couple runs a few years in a row while also taking advantage of draft capital. And, yeah, man, I mean, look at who we got this year in the draft. Like, it's incredible.
I think about Howie and looking at this roster, like, you know, he was ordering McDonald's. Maybe I'm a little hungry, but, like, you get your value meal, right? And then you start shopping from the dollar menu. Like, do I need an apple pie? But I'll get it for a dollar. Do I need these random pieces? So you start building your back end of the roster with, like, cheap back end deals. Like, are both our running backs, you know, dollar menu in terms of millions. But
got them off the 1-2-3 menu at McDonald's.
Yeah. But it's loud because you it's got still two. Fire. I was gonna say you got the apple pie for a dollar, right? That's rocking. You put it in the air fryer for a couple minutes. Yeah.
Flaked up.
You know, it's right for you, man. It's just how you like it. So yeah, you know, you have to, like, that's how the good teams continue to win. That's what Kansas City has done in a lot of ways. We could mock draft right now. Will, stop playing with me. I've been on PFF mock drafting still. Don't play with me.
Hey, Will, I just want to give you a heads up. Your hoodie is on its way. Just want to let you know that you did not. It's on its way to you. But I did want to shout out Dennis. He said, just want to tell you guys thank you for helping me keep up to date with the news and rumors. Being in Virginia and not hearing everything is tough. So I really appreciate you guys and can't wait to meet y'all this season.
Appreciate you turning in, bro.
Hey, we can't wait to meet you.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, man. To all the people in Virginia about us too, like, let them know if it's Eagles fans in VA, put them on 4th and John. Tell them you could come here for the news. We got the podcast. We, you know, it's the in person. You know what I mean? Come tailgate, pull up. So we out here, man.
So he also asked how much cap do we have left? Around 12 to 14. But again, the cap's not real.
That's not real.
Yeah, the cap's not real. Cap's not real.
Let me ask you guys a question. So as we sit here, it's one of those tropes about the NFC East that there hasn't been a repeat winner in, what, like 20-something years, something like that? I think since, like, 2003, just the year?
It's between us and Dallas. I think Dallas is going to make a real tough run at that number one spot in the NFC East. I still think that Philly is the best team in this division, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think Philly's the best team in the conference. So it's going to be hard for me to say that they don't do it, but it's not going to be easy, bro. Right? Yeah. That, like, teams are going to come out. They've now had a full offseason to study Jalen Hurts, the offense, the changes in this offense. You know, I think that it'll be interesting to see how Nick Sirianni takes this to the next level, what Desai adds to this defense, because people gunning for us, bro, right? Yeah. We talked a lot of shit last year, running into seasons, you know, we pulling up, you know, Vince bringing people sports trips, right? That, like, we jumping into other people's cities, disrespecting them, football team kicking 18 ass, years, right? And so, like, teams is like, yo, man, that Philly team. So, we're going to have the smoke, man. People going to be ready for it. Like, but I still think that this team is so damn talented. I don't know that it matters.
Like last year, I thought we were a damn solid team, and I think we're just as solid. I think we got younger at positions of need, and I think
we might have got more explosive.
You might want to travel with us on the road because it could be sick. It could be sick. I mean, while we're here, I mean, if you weren't looking to travel and go to games, you can link up with us on these trips with Philly Sports Trips. I'll make sure to follow them at Sports Trips PHL for more information. Go to PhillySportsTrips.com.
I mean, just personally from me, I think that if this team, like, I think that we are on par with as good as we were last year, which on paper says that we should be able to do everything we did last year. The only problem is that I think we also got really lucky with the injury bug. I think that we were able to avoid key players, going down for extended periods of time.
Yes.
That doesn't happen every year, man.
It doesn't.
And so if we are not as lucky this year, we could have that little skid, you know, at some point during the season.
I'm already predicting now that we will deal with injuries in a way that we didn't last year.
Yeah.
And again, the reason why, and people keep saying, you can't change Jalen. 2 years in a row, Jalen Hurts, due to how we've utilized him in this offense, has gone into the playoffs injured, yeah. Right? Like, he is the key to all of this. Marcus Mariota is a good QB too, pinch starter. But this team revolves around Jalen Hurts being available, right? And so for me, I do want to dial back the dedicated QB runs. Let him scramble, keep plays alive. Like, that's who he is. But for me, the key is keeping him healthy. I think we will deal with injuries. That's why I'm really, really curious to see what they do about a wide receiver 3, what they do about a tight end 2. We've talked about both of those positions. What we do at linebacker, God forbid, Nakobe goes down, right? That, like, we don't have a lot of depth at some of these other positions. And so to Gail's point, you know, who's that dollar menu person that maybe we could get from another team for a 1 year flyer, or that gets cut late in camp and, like, we can bring them in here and kind of rely on them to be a functional starter for us to spot start. This is the NFL, man. People get hurt. 17 games is a lot, you know, including the playoffs is 20. Yeah, Jack is still out there. Yep.
I think there's going to be opportunities to get somebody. My thing, somebody asked me this yesterday. Obviously, I want to go through the roster and really, you know, when a player flashes, they flash, and coaches don't forget that. They're like, okay, this needs to be, we need to examine more of this work over here by this said undrafted free agent rookie. If somebody flashes, they're going to be like, all right, well, let's get this guy some more burn. If they see all the stuff they threw at the wall that doesn't really make sense, then they're going to go get somebody. And I think, I think you have to evaluate the roster and turn it over and then figure out who you have. And then if you don't have what you need, you go get it. We have ample opportunities with the amount of mid-round draft picks that we have. You guys see how many draft picks we have in the mid-rounds?
We got 72 draft picks in the
mid-round.
Round 4 and 7, we got 68.
We also have the Dominican Sue on line 2.
Yeah.
We have Julio Jones on line 3.
Chris Harris, right? Chris Harris is one of those people I'm watching right now, dude, because he, much like Dominican, continues to say, like, I'm not signing it. Like, I'm keeping my options open. I'm not really trying to do training camp. I want to go to a contender. Chris Harris will be really, really interesting in this defense as, like, an additional player. Because, again, what are we talking about? Injuries. What happened last year? We lost our slot corner, and the drop off from the starter to the next man up was a pretty steep drop off. Chris Harris gonna still give you some good reps. Quality veteran,
who just played Scott,
a gajillion freaking play, right? He's played a gajillion snaps in his career. So, and then Gail, to your point, we talked about this a few shows back, but I think for the past 2 or 3 seasons, at least 2 undrafted free agents have made the roster. So, you know, we're talking probably this year another 2 dudes coming in and making this team to be determined. But I'm excited, man. I don't personally think we're as good this year as we were last year. I think we were stacked across the board last year in a way that we aren't this year. But I am excited about dudes like Terrell Edmonds. I'm excited about you know, the running back room this year. I think we have two phenomenal backs, and then Kenny Gainwell and Boston's like, we could run 40 times a game. We don't even have to pass the ball, bro. Right? Like, we could run the wing tee.
Like 1940s football.
Everybody, right? Like, we could bring it back to the golden era of football, man, before they started all that forward pass foolishness and bury a bunch of teams. So, you know, I think that this team, it's important to be able to win anyway, right? If you have to run it 40 times, if you have to pass 40 times, like, you need a roster that can do that. And I think that Philly is there. And defensively, you just can't let people score more than you score on offense, period, right? Like, that's it. So, yeah, man, this is a good team, bro, for sure.
Speaking of running, DeAndre Swift, I went back and watched a lot of his catches in space. He, in the open field, he tends to make guys make look businesses – business decisions, because he will run people over, and he's got a natural feel in the open field. So I think
he can catch, right?
Yeah, like, so I mean,
it's underrated, his hands. You know, when you see how he was used in Seattle, that, like, we have three running backs. I don't count Boston Scott as much, like, but we have three running backs that are interchangeable. So when they come into the game, you don't really know what's about to happen. And, like, not giving away the play is so, so important. It's not just a between the tackles, two down banger, and then our third down guy. Like, nah, all of these guys can do those things. And so it just makes it less predictable for our offense.
I got a question for you. How do we, like, in terms of the safety position, you know, Reed Blankenship is filling in for Marcus Epps, like that role. Marcus Epps going to the season versus Reed Blankenship going to the season. Who are you more, you know,
confident with?
Confident in?
I'm probably too much of a Blankenship stan. I really liked him coming out of Middle Tennessee. I think he put some pretty good tape together as a box safety. I think he can do things. He's a better wrap up tackler than Marcus Epps was.
I love his angles, man.
I will say that, like, Marcus Epps going into last season and even throughout the season, one of the things that I always gave the credit to Marcus Epps for is his hitting ability. I thought he could lay the wood. Yeah. But I think that he actually really improved last year in coverage as well. Prior to that, he was kind of really iffy in coverage, but he could pop somebody. Yep. Last year, I think he stepped up big time as far as coverage is concerned. Yeah. Reed Blankenship, I'm kind of coming into this season with the same kind of mentality that I had about Marcus Epps last season. Whereas, like, I have no doubt in my mind that Reed Blankenship can lay the wood and all that. I think he comes in with a better base of coverage. But, I think it's one of those things where he could surprise people. It's gravy, essentially. You know what I mean? He was an undrafted free agent. So if he's able to perform and, you know, be a true starter, and we got him as undrafted, dude, that's money.
843 Philly fan says Reed Blankenship will be a starting safety.
I honestly think we rotate three, yo. That, like, I think this is a situation, especially because you have Edmonds and Reed Blankenship that are, like, quasi linebackers, right? And so, like, they're perfect for that hang safety. I know we do a ton of split safety looks. Reed can play in space, right? That, like, his interception against Brett Favre, oh my god, his interception against Aaron Rodgers was down the field, right? Like, it was a play on the back end. I think he matches up well with tight ends. Yeah, and he played, again, when you're talking about, like, a ton of reps, he played 5 years at Middle Tennessee. He's seen everything. And so, you know, when you add in Sidney Brown too, you know, I make a lot of jokes about him being really good, tight, 10 yards and less. But, you know, I think that you have three safeties that can play, that can hit. They're physical, right? They're, like, they're tone setters. I think the question is, can they play the deep third, right? Can they play that post? And if we find that one of them can, I think we're in a good space. But I'm less concerned about safety than I am about linebacker. I have still a lot of questions about linebacker and really the depth that linebacker. And if one of the linebackers go down, does that mean that Reed Blankenship is now quasi linebacker for us on third down, right? And, like, in our nickel. So
what's your confidence level of Morrow?
I like Nicholas Morrow. You know, I think similar to Kazir.
I gotta see it.
It's a dude that's gonna come in. I mean, he played well last year, like for Chicago, for a defense.
He led the team in tackles, I think. But as a middle middle linebacker, I mean, you should.
He's a hitter, bro.
I gotta see how he does, and then I start asking questions. Like when I see players, I'm like, can you tell me about something? But Bob Downer says we're good at safety, linebacker, tight end too. Steen at right guard. I think that's really where the conversations are had. Question marks over safety, linebacker. Obviously, N'Kobe Dean is going to take the reins, but I feel very confident in what he brings to the table. And I like the youth that with Steen. I think it's all exciting. Cam Jurgens, all excited. I like the competition aspect. Tight end too. Again, it's a very mixed bag of Old Navy and Target types. You know,
I love. Yeah. Listen, man, y'all know I love Stoll. That's my boy, man. He, you know what you're going to get from him, and I think that's invaluable. Like he's not Dallas Goedert. I think Grant Calcaterra takes a step forward here, but like Stoll is good enough for 12, right? And he can block. He'll make some catches in the middle and fall down like Zach Ertz used to. But you know what you're gonna get from him, and like that ability to say, "Hey, next man up." Like he'll give us what we need him to do. I think it's important, bro.
I seen Stoll at the Eagles Autism Challenge. Some size I'd Big be sitting Google, and just like seeing how like when rookies come in, there's like confidence level of like they're just happy to be here or just like, you know, they he looks comfortable. You know, some of the rooks that are there were like shook ones, but like he looked comfortable. And again, everyone's always gonna try and replace you in the NFL. Just is what it is. Greetings and salutations, John. Mark says shout out to Prime. You know, Prime. Prime is busy working. Hollis, he's on the world
with his eyes. Or some shit.
My lord, we were praying for his. Hope he feels better. The picture he shared with us. My lord, I hope he feels better. But yeah, man,
I saw fellas.
Oof. So bringing up some other topics that I wanted to bring up. Now Roop says, you know, he wrote out a article basically talking about like, some observations. Is Jalen Carter the most anticipated Eagles, player since Donovan McNabb? I'm trying to go over
in regard to, being
excitement-wise, yeah, like everyone's like, can you name another Eagle that Eagle fans have?
AJ Brown last year, like that's what I'm saying. Well, are we talking about draft?
We're talking about rookie.
Rookie, okay.
I was really excited about Jordan Davis.
I'm not gonna lie, dude.
To be honest,
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carsonian.
When he was drafted, like that was the second coming. We were convinced. Yeah.
I was pretty hyped about Devontae.
Yeah.
I was hyped for Devontae. I was hyped for that.
I think Jalen Carter, only because he was going into this season and like really up until the car accident happened after the national championship, the number one prospect in his draft, right? That like people were clamoring for him to go number one and like nobody questioned it. And even going back again last year, like I remember doing my Jordan Davis breakdown. And just seeing 88 blowing up everything. And I walked away like, who the fuck is 88? And like, why is he about to be the next great defensive tackle in the NFL? And so the fact that he's on the squad, you know, I think that for me, I'll probably, and I've been an Eagles fan over 35 years. So I've seen a lot of dudes come into this city that folks were hyped about. But for me, it was probably like recently, definitely Devontae or Jalen Carter. But I'm also really hyped about Nolan Smith.
And the more I watch about Nolan Smith, man, the more I'm like, dude, I just fucking love
this
kid.
He's a baller. Yes.
I'm not sure if anybody had the chance. There was like a 11-minute little like short kind of YouTube video, just kind of following Nolan Smith and his draft day and that whole experience. That was a pretty cool watch. If anybody kind of opens up and just shows you what kind of person, more of like what kind of person he is. And dude, it's a guy that like he's impossible not to root for. I mean, we talk about like I brought up like in this draft in the first round, we've got the replacements for both Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham moving forward. And the funniest part to me is that not only is Nolan Smith his replacement on Edge, but like personality wise, it's very similar. Like they're very happy, energetic, fun loving people. And I just, I think they're great, both great locker room people.
I love he asked Desai for the playbook on the phone call, right? He was like, listen, coach, like, send me that shit. I'm ready to go. Like, that speaks volumes. And Gail and I went back and forth texting the whole offseason about Nolan Smith's character, right? That, like, that was the thing that, like, high character, high football IQ, and he's also a really good football player. And it's rare you find, like, that amalgamation all in one dude that also fell to the tail end of the first round. So, you know, I'm juice man, yo.
Also, I just want to, while this picture's up, I want to point out too, and it's so nitpicky, and but like it's one of those things that I looked at and I acknowledged in the fact that his girl had enough respect to give his mom the spot on the couch. You know what I mean? There's always that fight in the when the player gets drafted where like the girlfriend's trying to steal a little bit of the spotlight, but well, the family. I was like, he's got himself a good woman right there.
The representation, like they're the ones that put out this video that everyone's sharing. Like hat tip to their agency for like, you know, shedding light and also putting a magnifying glass on their player behind the scenes. It comes from a really good unit, man. And again, I think his support group is huge. As you saw, N'Kobe Dean, his former roommate was there. And this is the scene that Ed was talking about. So he says, Coach Sean, I know you're busy. I want that playbook. I want it. I want that PDF. I want to be on that effing field. Yep. I want to show y'all why you should pick me number one. I'm being dead ass serious. Now, if you haven't seen it yet or heard it, go back and listen to the way that he delivers it. I can't do it any justice. I could act a little bit, but
a little bit.
I'm saying the way that he just delivered it, the way that he just delivered it, you believed him wholeheartedly. And then again, I got to meet him at the Eagles Autism Challenge last week, and he was every bit of what. It's funny because, like, you know, me and Mal were having a conversation about Nolan Smith being like one of the guys that we wanted. And then you finally see him in front of you and you're just like, so I saw him. I was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know that we've been waiting for you.
Yeah. Let me ask, he's the juice man, right? Like, he's electricity. Like, you need those guys that it's a long season, right? Like, you talking off season, you talking training camp, regular season, playoffs, Super Bowl. We're going to project it and put it out there. Like, you need those guys that keep everybody hype. And Nolan Smith is that guy, yo. Like, he's this self-proclaimed juice man, bro. Like, his energy is infectious. And I feel like we have a lot of dudes kind of like N'Kobe, kind of like Jalen Carter, that are really kind of like low-key, just get the job done. And then you got guys like Brandon Graham who provide that juice. You need those guys.
I can't imagine what the conversations are like. Like, obviously, as hungry as he is to want the playbook, and not just to get the playbook overnight. He wants the PDF sent to my phone right now. But then also on top of, you know, he's already talking about he's really trying to put more tricks in his bag, really trying to like figure out working on these next rush moves at the next level. He's so hungry. I would pay money just to watch Brandon Graham and him talking back and forth. Like,
they could probably have their own comedy hour, dude. Once they retire,
the shit talking hour, bro. Yeah. And it gonna just be, and for me, like, it's huge, man, because you need this, right? Like, you have to get younger. Excellent point, AJ, but you have to get younger. You need guys that really love football. You need guys that also bring that professionalism to this, right? They're like, why do we love Jalen Hurts so much? Because he's a consummate professional. He's that, you know, the stereotypical first win, last out, right? They're like, but he's going to get beat there by Nolan. Right, like they're gonna be, it's gonna be a jam bot group trying to get through that door.
5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
And so, like, could you imagine as a coach, like you coming in, you showing up, and it's a line of cars and people trying to get through the door at 5 o'clock in the morning? Like, what better situation could you be in? And you know, that just, I'm really excited to see what this group can do.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Let me ask the hard-hitting question here, because kind of just have been thinking about it. But between our two first-round picks this year, Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, who's got more of that dog in them?
See the literal dog or Georgia dog?
Not Georgia dog. That dog.
the Georgia boys, mentality. Man, you got to look at the system. Why I'm excited for both of them is you getting away from this two-gap, we do whatever it takes to win on defense mentality, right? And like, you're going to get more single gap, more opportunities for Nolan Smith to not set edges, but actually rush the passer. And so I think it's hard to really predict with either of them, because much like Jordan Davis, like, it takes time to kind of transition from I'm here to just play this role to like, I'm here to be this dude. And so for both of them, I think it'll be a transition. I think Jalen Carter will probably hit the ground faster just because he was already showing that one gap, get after the quarterback in a way that Nolan really hasn't, right? That like Nolan's job was to make sure nobody got outside of him. And like, he took that to heart. I don't think in the NFL, like, that'll be his full-time role anymore. So it may take him a year or two to, like Gail said, add to that toolbox. I think Jalen's going to be ripping shit up from the beginning.
I think Jalen Carter, I'm trying to pick the right words to describe what I think he is as a, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but I just think overall his game, he's a game wrecker. And yes, there's things that he does when you watch on tape that you're like, God damn, like, I don't even think he knows how good he is yet. So if he's doing this already, just imagine if he refines his game with more technique, because I think he's technical. His swim moves are like, he'll the gap integrity, hold a guy to last, and then just throw a guy. Like, he seems like he has everything in control. His, I think if he gets bananas. Yeah, I think if he gets his NFL body on top of that, and then he's in the right room with Fletcher Cox. It's like, it's like perfect scenario for him.
The way that I kind of view it is, like, I think that Jalen Carter has essentially a gift from God, and the fact that I think he is just naturally talented and technical, and it just comes natural to him, where I view Nolan more as like the tape grinder type, that just constantly,
like, work
just
hard,
wants to get better, constantly working to get better. I think that Jalen Carter's ability is just he's just a natural born athlete. Yeah. That makes sense.
So, but don't forget that Nolan was top five recruit, right, in the country. Like, this is a guy that coming out of high school was highly coveted, because he also has, like, and again, I can't get away from Jalen Hurts. We have dudes that are naturally gifted, right? That, like, we all grew up playing sports, right? And it was always that thing, hard work beats out talent that doesn't work hard. And we all know, whenever you got that guy that was hardworking and also talented, you couldn't do nothing with him, right? Can't do nothing with him. And so when you have a guy like Jalen, who I think has gotten a bad rap for his work ethic, but everybody speaks to the fact that, like, he's a dog, bro. He practices hard, and, you know, you see him in these games giving massive effort. Bro, I'm just excited, man. It's hard for me to pick. Like, I think both of them are going to be phenomenal in whatever we ask them to do.
A shout out to Billy Miller. He's a head coach of IMG. Was a fan of Fourth and John show.
Thanks,
Billy. Met him down at Tampa. He was a coach. He's coaching with Trey down at IMG. But he actually went to the NovaCare. Was invited to NovaCare. He was with Nolan Smith. So that was kind of cool. your head coach, your high school coach is there. That just talks that tight knit, I'm not going to speak poorly of my high school coach, but
here it comes.
you know what I mean? Like, there's these relationships that you form, form bonds with some of your coaches that go on for years. Like, say that, like, not all these relationships are the same. And the fact that you got your high school coach out there supporting you speaks volumes to who he is as a player as well.
Facts.
Yeah. And person. Moving right along.
As we sit here with this loaded ass defensive line group, the line is set at 4.5 sacks for Derek Barnett over or under. Derek Barnett.
I'm going to
4.5 sacks.
I'll go 4.5.
Going to under. I think he gets phased out for Nolan, bro.
My thing is just like we mentioned, Derek Barnett is like, he's
an afterthought.
He's the third guy.
The third guy.
He's on the depth chart. He's on,
Yeah.
At that, he's like, and that he's a valuable, did scoop up that fumble in the Super Bowl.
I think that his value really, he's shown is more as a run stopper though, right? That like, I think that he'll get some early down opportunities to play that position. He's the enigma in this part. I think, 4.5 is not something that's outlandish in my opinion. I think he ends up with 3.5. And the reason is because Nola Smith snaps jump exponentially from week 6 on, where you just can't get the guy off the field. Right. And so, if Nolan gets hurt or, something happens with Josh Sweat or BG, falls off the cliff age-wise, then, I think 4.5 over makes a ton of sense. But if we're projecting that this group is healthy, I don't know that he gets that many reps, bro. It's going to be hard for me to keep him on the field over somebody like Nolan Smith, who is just a more phenomenal athlete.
I just say, depth wise, it's important to have depth, dude. It's a long season, man.
Without a question.
It's definitely a long season. And then, my thing is with Barnett, the thing they love about Barnett, locker room,
mm-hmm.
practice wise,
mm-hmm.
brings the energy. Sirianni likes it. We all know another former lineman in here who we had him in tears, had him yoked up. Was bringing the smoke in practice. That's what he brings. And
mm-hmm.
that's one thing that you can't, as much as, some Eagle fans will discredit what he means to the depth of this team or whatever. He brings that intensity in the at practice as well.
Were you talking about Barnett made someone cry? I thought it was Josh Sweat that made Andre Dillard cry. No,
it was Barnett.
It was Barnett.
And let's not forget that Derek Barnett left the SEC as the most accomplished sack leader, right? He broke the record at Tennessee, right?
The Reggie White's record.
Yeah. And and again, it wasn't free runs to the quarterback. He was doing his thing. That comparison between him and Myles Garrett was real in that draft. So, he's definitely a good football player. He makes a ton of bonehead mistakes. And that's always been my thing with Derek Barnett, is the bonehead mistakes. It's the things that cost you at important parts of the game. And again, if you're saying, hey, we got to keep this dude, Nolan Smith, in the rotation, and then he does some dumb shit week 4, that might be it, right? They're hey, you'll still get your reps, but your snaps are going to go from 30 to 15 a game. So give us your best 15. It'd be hard as shit to get 4.5 sacks at 15 snaps a game, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that there are a lot of things we still have to figure out there. But to be in a place where you can rotate 4 and 5 guys at the edge, you can rotate 4 and 5 guys at defensive tackle. It just keeps you in a great space. And, man, you hunting in the fourth quarter, right? Guys are juiced up in the fourth quarter. That's a Nolan in the fourth quarter. Come on. Juice man in the fourth quarter. Let's go.
4-3 off in the fourth edge. Quarter.
Let's go. In the
fourth quarter.
And you got Hassan on the other side.
Yo, and no one's talking about Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat had the quietest 12.5 sacks I maybe have seen in my whole life, right? He got overshadowed in such a major way in his defense because there were so many dogs. He had a career season. and nobody's saying shit about it, right? And like, he played so well, we may not be able to afford to re-sign this man in a year, yo. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting, man.
It's so hard for me for being, you know, growing up with a Reggie White, a Clyde Simmons, a Jerome Brown. Like, I never thought that I was going to see defensive front so scary. And it's taken years, but this group, the last 2 years, it's been sick. They just got to close out, man. Like, as much as the sacks that we got last year, shout out to the field.
Depth-wise, you might be stronger, but, I mean, dude, Reggie's one of one, man.
Yeah,
he's facts.
Well, I mean, we're talking, like, depth.
Yeah, like, I'm saying depth-wise, yeah.
Bro, it's like, far, yeah. There's so many different versatile styles of play here as a defensive lineman, like guys that are, you know,
college days,
you know, three tech, you know, play zero tech, you know, some guys that are like interchangeable. You're like, how do we get so lucky to get Jalen Carter?
Because Howie values big men in the trenches.
It's crazy. If you would like Mal was like, yeah, I didn't really spend too much time watching Carter because I didn't think we ever get him. Like, the fact that we got him is insane.
Yep.
It's insane, especially absolutely. For all the people out there watching the draft and watching some of these prospects, man. It's insane. Just one note, the OTAs. It's on phase three of the OTAs. So this is where here's the schedule right now. The Eagles workout dates are May 30th, June 1st through 2nd, June 5th through 6th, and June 8th. So you're going to start to see some of these nuggets leak out.
Yep.
You're going to start hearing some things. You got to slow your roll. You know, all these people worried about Jalen Hurts throwing some picks in practice or whatever. I mean, that meant.
It's nothing like what's going on down in Tampa Bay, man. I'm not sure if you guys saw the videos out of that today.
Baby.
What happened?
Between that Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask, that whole QB competition is a two-pack of ass.
And it's tough because with fantasy football, right, they're like, I love Godwin, I love Mike
Evans.
They just bring it every year. But I think I'm fading both of them on their ADP right now because I don't trust Baker Mayfield. If he does, it'll be the hardest 1,000 yards he ever got in his life. It's going to be on like 150 catches, bro. That man's freaking average per reception is about to be like 8 yards a catch. So, yeah, that video was ugly. It's still early, though, man, right there. Like, I also, for me, all of these people talking about this redemption tour for Baker Mayfield, how sway. This is a guy that had one good year in the NFL surrounded by the most talent that he had, right? And so it coincides with his best year. And then, you know, when he had to become the guy, he folded. Yeah. So I think Tampa will be in the CJ Stroud, Derek May.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, Derek May lottery in about a year. They'll be having a new quarterback.
Now, Will had asked, you guys going to Dallas December 10th?
Maybe. I'm definitely going to the 49ers game. I'll cop the tickets for Father's Day, so I'll be in the building. Yes. The rest of these, I got a whole son, bro, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure some things out this year. Still figure Kansas City's got to be one, LA's got to be one, and then
LA would be amazing.
I'm trying to figure out. You got to be there for the first week of the season. Oh. I love to see
that one news. Is also going to be, I don't know, that was a little extraordinary just considering it's the Tom Brady going away game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be pricey.
I don't like New England. Someone who grew up in Connecticut, I hate Boston.
Yes.
Fucking hate. I've got some personal vendettas against that city. I was almost a Red Sox fan until I'm giving you a real story here. As a kid, and I went to the stadium, and
It ruined it for you. Like, I've never heard the N-word so much in my life.
And I was a big Jim Rice fan, and I was like, kid. And I was like, a week later, came home. I was like, get rid of all of it.
Right. Yeah, while we're on the topic of fuck Boston, fucking Celtics got bounced by an 8 seed. You fucking losers.
Baby, get out of here. Baby.
Jimmy Butler, man, was
baby.
Dude, those last three games, I was fucking nervous, bro.
Yes.
I thought Boston was gonna come back and win. I'm so glad they're not. And we don't got to go through the Boston media circus of,
Oh, well, the Red Sox were the first team to come back from a 3-0 and win the series, and then the Celtics.
Thank God.
Blue Meanie says, I've been to more Eagles road games than home games.
Wow. Interesting. That's Blue Meanie fun fact right there.
Nice.
Wealthy Mind says, Section 315 in L.A., fellas, see you there. Okay. Okay. Shout out to Mark in the building. For those people that were waiting on posters, still posters are going out. My trips to the post office. They run out of these perfect boxes to put the posters in. So I'm waiting. I buy the whole thing out when I get there. Any other questions? Anything that you guys wanted to bring up?
I feel like we touched on a lot.
Let's see. News and notes here. June 10th, again, Devontae Smith is having a softball game. It should be – hey, there is a lot of people going there. There's this guy named Terrell Owens who is going to be there. Brandon Marshall from the I Am Athlete, also a former NFL player. This guy named Jalen Hurts.
A former NFL player.
Who was a baller. Brandon Marshall.
Yo, Brandon Marshall, like, I drafted that dude like 6 years in a row.
He was killing, yo. Yeah. Killing.
Brandon Marshall, he was our first
one. Yo, Prime. NFL, what up, Brody?
First NFL athletes on my old website back in the day. So shout out to him.
Nice.
Shout out to Prime.
We don't miss you.
Speak to yourself.
Who else is going to be there?
Go back to work.
Let's see.
Is Micah going to be there this year?
John Watson is going to be there. John Dotson is going to be there.
Doran Boss. John.
This guy that running back for the Giants, you might know his name. Saquon Barkley is going to be there. Local legend there as well. Same with John Dotson. Who else? I don't think AJ's playing this year. See AJ in the home run derby they had last year.
Yeah.
He was putting bombs out there.
He was.
Jake Elliott will be there.
Okay. He's
a supreme athlete. If you guys want to get your tickets, check out their website at DevonteSmithSoftball.com.
Yeah, you know I love you, my boy.
Yeah, anything else? Oh, how was did we talk about Colorado? We did talk about Colorado.
I don't know. Colorado was a great time. To be honest with you, it was one of those. I had a realization right there as I was driving around.
You're Mike, there, guy. Had a realization that your mic is.
Now you're muted, bro.
Can't hear you.
Nope. Nah.
He had a realization that Colorado was awesome.
All right, now.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I had a realization that while I was out there driving with beautiful scenery, I was like, you know what? I kind of understand why, because I was in my general question, I'm a sports guy. I'm from a sports city, and I always kind of figure out what teams people are rooting for in any given area if I strike up a conversation. Not a lot of sports fans out there. And I was just kind of like thinking to myself, I was like, dude, it's so beautiful out here. It's one of those things where it doesn't really matter. Like in Philadelphia, concrete jungle, I'm sitting here like my entire week is predicated on whether or not the Eagles are ready. And it can ruin my mood or it can put me on cloud nine. Walk outside and you'd be like, you know what? It's not all that bad. You know what I mean? It's gorgeous.
So it's more serene than the Schuylkill River?
Yes.
title. One would hope so.
Yeah. Todd, the tree was pretty great. I got a ride to the airport, and I had the first moment in probably a decade where we stopped at a friend's house, probably a half hour away from the airport. We were sitting there smoking, and I was in the passenger seat about to be dropped off at the airport, and I was like, yo, I don't think I can do this right now. It's got way too many people in there.
Did you end up finishing your footage from the trip?
No, not all of it. I got lazy with that. I haven't finished it. Because I'm trying to... I don't know how... I'm trying to string together a bunch of drone footage in a way that's not going to be just repetitive or boring. I'm trying to get creative with it. So, any drone people out there, reach out.
The teaser was amazing, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Again, want to shout out Hollis. Hopefully, he's feeling better, man.
Yeah, keep that eye right, man.
Shout out to Primo. Want to shout out,
Bud Light, Philly Sports Trips.
Bud Light always doing the damn thing, holding us down for the last 6 years. We appreciate you guys supporting us when no one did, when you believed in us, when no one did. Shout out to Conscious Hawk and Bakery, 50 years of awesomeness, great people, great food, great vibes. Always come there for a good time when you want to get that tomato pie and get some kind of crazy design on it. They do amazing work. Their cookies are amazing too. I don't even like cookies, but their cookies, chef's kiss.
Who doesn't like cookies?
I'm not a big cookie guy.
I'm not a big.
That's
cookie
crazy,
guy.
Bro. Cookies That's are funny, like man. My.
Bro, I gained 50 pounds off straight cookies, bro.
You're saying, like, cookies not... are my number one dessert, and it's like, not even close.
When I go early, you know what I mean, and the people at they like, man, he went out because it was them damn steaks and them damn cookies. Got his ass. And I'm be like, hey, I'm good be having like,
yeah,
bro, them cookies and steaks was rocking though. You feel me? You got to pay the cost to be the boss, the cookie boss, baby.
I'm a big fan of Cookie Monster, just not really.
I see why he was addicted, bro.
Bro, so now just as a quick like anecdote, we watching because you know MJ, so we watch Cookie Monster, Sesame Street, and so Cookie Monster has a show where like his sidekicks are cookies. And I was talking to Allison the first time we watched it. And I was like, this is the most unrealistic shit I've ever seen in my life. Because I grew up watching this man, like, voraciously destroy cookies. Yeah. And now his best friends is cookies.
Yeah.
No, that's his ops, bro. Like, let's not rewrite history, man. Let's keep this consistent, bro.
Didn't they also try making him like the veggie monster for a short period, too?
Like broccoli. I remember, yeah.
No, man, it was crazy. That's funny, it's crazy the way, like... In kids' television, shout out to Nickelodeon. There's the way that you can't talk about sweets in a certain way. And Cookie Monster, well, that's not Cookie Monster, not Nickelodeon, but it's, I'm just saying, like, sometimes when you talk about these kind of foods, you can't talk about it in a way that, you know,
promotes bad eating or something,
overindulgent in like snacks. I'm like, it's kind of crazy. But I was gonna say, I do have I had to clean out since I'm virtual now. I had to clean out my office. I do have a Cookie Monster doll.
Oh yeah.
If your son really loves Cookie Monster like that, because I'm sitting there,
everything.
I was like, yo, I don't need this anymore at my desk. Yeah. I'm gonna have to find some random person without being weird. Like, hey, do you like Cookie Monster?
Hey, MJ love Cookie Monster. MJ love anything he could throw around and chew on, bro. So Cookie Monster, it don't matter. Rocket from damn whatever the hell that. It's so many damn shows. My God.
Yeah. Mm. You've been watching a lot of Paw Patrol?
Yeah, that's who he's from, Paw Patrol. He don't really like Paw Patrol. He like Miss Rachel. He got a girlfriend already. He already on it. He trying to bag him up. So I'm like, slow him down. Slow him down, man.
Favorite dessert?
Favorite dessert, guy?
I like ice cream cake, man.
Okay.
Ice cream cake.
Interesting. What about you, Hollywood?
Cookies, bro. I'm telling you. Like, I'm not even. Yeah, I go in on cookies.
Oh, yeah. Mine is apple pie, son. For the love of
bro, God. Bro, I love apple pie. Oh, hot, cold. God.
Yo, for
it's
real?
Got, it's got I an Alamo. Cold,
honestly, with a little bit of.
Either way, son.
It's the cold.
Either way.
Dude, I'm weird in that. I like pretty much all my shit cold. Like,
I like cold
desserts
pie,
and shit. That I like a lot of desserts cold, yeah.
Yeah.
Apple pie heated up.
Gotta get that the sugar on top, a little bit of cinnamon in it. Oh, baby.
Yeah, man. I just we're about to close it down. shout out to you guys in the comments. We appreciate you guys sticking around.
Always.
And while we're here, man, last word, Mal.
Hey, man, I'm gonna give you your flowers, Gail, because you talked about, you know, jokingly, but partially serious, but like sticking with you all, like you grinded, bro, right? That, like, you know, Hollywood and I had a whole conversation about the fact that, like, you kept this thing afloat through COVID, like, you was grinding hours on hours on hours. You found me in the Bleeding Green Nation comment section, bro, just grinding away in the darkness with weed smoke all around me. And so, like, you know, shouts out to you, my brother. I got nothing but love for you, man. You've always been just a dope human being towards me and towards everybody I've seen you interact with. So my last word is, like, you're a hell of a human, dude. And I'm very glad to see these things come to fruition for you. Hollywood, you've been grinding yourself too, man. We about to collaborate on a whole damn mini documentary. I love y'all boys, man. You know, I'm always grateful to be in this space with y'all. Y'all are just really dope people. So my last word is, fly eagles fly, but yo, y'all are some amazing folks, man. So shout out to y'all.
Hey,
Kyman, appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no, for me, I'm not going to inflate Gail's head any more than that. not for real, though. I mean, this is a great group to work with. I mean, dude, we've been doing it. What's crazy to think about is that, like, we are closer to doing this for 10 years than we are to 3 years, man. So, like, we've really been doing this shit for a long time. And I just want to also just kind of build off of what Mal said and just throw this to the comment section as well, because it's not just Gail that held it together. I mean, dude, all these same names that pop up in the comment section every single show for years and years and years. And we see you guys, the same group of people that show up at the tailgates. We couldn't do it without y'all either. Like, we'd just be speaking into a void and nobody would be listening. So I appreciate all y'all, you know, a lot as well. And just fly goes fly, man.
Yeah, sure. I mean, shout out to you guys, man. Appreciate you guys, dude. I mean, at moments in time when you're just like, you're trying to talk about the Eagles, you need to find your peoples. Finding you guys, man, it makes it all better when you want to talk about your birds. And then off the field, no Eagles, y'all are cool in the other side of the pillow, man.
And we still hang out, right, outside of the season. It's not just birds, like, you know, people, we really kick it. So, man, this is a dope experience, right? That, like, life is about making these experiences and having these interactions with people that you ultimately call your family. And, like, Fourth and Jones are family. And I've always appreciated that aspect of this podcast, that it's not just us talking on computer screens. Like, we really be out in the community, you know, going to all types of events. You know, y'all hosting the dopest damn tailgate in the whole city. Everybody trying to steal y'all concept, but they can't do it because they don't got the love for the people, right? They're like, it starts with the love for the people before anything else. And so Fourth and John is the embodiment of that for sure.
Yeah, man. But before we get out of here, I just wanted to shout out my family. We had a death in the family. My cousin, Charles Washington, big part of our family, role model, taught us all how to be outside of my father. He's been a role model in our life for so long. But, you know, shout out to his wife, Kiki, and my cousins who lost a great man, a husband and a father, but also a mentor to a lot of people in this community. So, you know, just want to say, fly, Eagles, fly. We'll see you guys in the next one.
Go Birds.